I draw your attention to the Gospel according to Mark. I want to focus this morning on Mark chapter 6. In the first part of Mark, we have the story of Jesus sending out the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of the nearness of the kingdom, followed by the story of John the Baptist being beheaded. And then there's that story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. Jesus feeds them with bread and with fish. Our story picks up right after the feeding of the 5,000 is done. Mark 6, beginning with verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out, because they all saw him and they were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. This is God's word for us this morning. I have a Bible app on my phone, and I have the same Bible app on my tablet. And both on my phone and my tablet, I have this passage of Scripture highlighted in bold yellow, so that whenever I want to find it and get to it, I simply do a quick search on highlights, and poof, there it is. It is a psalm. It is a story that has had significant impact in my life. And it's something that I love to preach. It's a story that easily captures my imagination, and it has influenced me in some of my dark times, some of my troubled circumstances, some of my anxious moments. I've read this passage in hospitals beside sick beds of people from our church. One time I read this passage for a married couple in their home. And one of them was in bed, and later on that bed turned into a deathbed for that person. It's a story that resonates with me. There are mysterious elements in the story, and I ask questions of it that puzzle me. It's a story that shows me Jesus in twilight. There are details in the story that make it so real for me. Now here's one. The feeding of the 5,000 is over, and Jesus sends his disciples on ahead to the next destination. He sends them on by boat. But by now it's late afternoon. Darkness is imminent. And I wonder, is being out in the lake, on the lake in the dark, is that a good idea? Is that wise? Here's another. From his mountain vantage point, and when evening has come, it's dark now, Jesus saw the boat in the middle of the lake. How did you see that? How did you see that? And he noticed this detail, the disciples straining at the oars, because the wind was against them. Oh, yeah, another one. It isn't until dawn, almost dawn, when Jesus makes his move to them, walking on the lake. And I wonder why he waited so long. Why did he wait all night? Did he pray all night So that was his priority? And then there's this curious phrase. He was about to pass them by. Really? Why? I don't know what to do with that line. I'm intrigued enough to pay attention. I find the whole story so true to life. We don't have all the information. We don't have all the answers. We try to place our circumstances into some type of meaningful grid so that we can make sense of them. But it seems that there is always some things that just simply don't fit in, or they kind of slip out, or they don't follow through. And when our circumstances confound us, when we can't make sense of them, when our questions remain unanswered, we can become agitated, we can become perplexed, anxious, maybe even fearful. Look at the disciples. They do not get it at all. The whole experience leaves them dumbfounded. Mark's explanation is this: their hearts were hardened. Wow, that's harsh. Such a thing was said of Pharaoh of Egypt during Moses' time, remember? His heart was hardened. Such a thing is said of the opponents of God and of his son. And Mark applies it now to the disciples of all people. Their hearts are hardened. They don't get the bread thing earlier. They don't get the water thing now. And maybe that explains why they were not glad to see Jesus. They didn't welcome being rescued from the storm. They didn't help him get into the boat. One commentator made the point that it was not the storm that they were really afraid of. According to Mark, they didn't feel or say anything at all until they saw a figure approaching on top of the water, at which point they cried out and they were terrified. They were fine until they saw a ghost. Storm was not really the problem in the story. Jesus was. And he continued to be a problem for them after he had soothed them and identified himself and climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. When that all happened, the disciples were utterly astonished, flabbergasted, dumbfounded, bowled over, terrified, not by the waves, but by the calm. They did not understand, Mark says, because their hearts were hardened. My son and daughter-in-law have experience in the naval reserves, and I asked them once how this story might fit in or relate to the training that they had received. And they said that having the night watch on a boat was the hardest and lousiest shift you could get. I mean, everyone else is asleep. It's so hard to stay awake yourself. It's also the time when your imagination can go wonky about what's out there. And you usually think you see something in the water or you hear something in the wind that spells disaster. And then if there's a storm, then you have to keep the boat moving or else it capsizes. So that becomes the focus of your attention. You have eyes for little else. Or in the words of Mark's gospel, you row and you row and you row against the wind. You stay busy. You stay focused. I wonder how many of us live life that way. Right? You do what it takes to get through the day. You do what it takes to survive. Maybe you're trying to survive hard work. Or maybe you're trying to survive hard relationships. Or maybe just hard times. Or maybe you're just really focused and just busy. Busy with learning to be married. Busy with learning to be a single parent. Busy with work. Maybe you're focused on just simply getting better. Or maybe handling circumstances that simply overload your resources. And there may well be a simmering anxiety in you, maybe even a fear about how it's all going to turn out. How is it all going to turn out if I don't really put my effort to it? If I don't make the right choices, the right decisions, the right steps? The disciples were focused on rowing against the wind. They were not prepared to see their Lord hiking toward them across the lake, traveling in the most unorthodox manner in this twilight time. They never expected something like that. Things aren't supposed to happen like that. You used a boat to get across water, or you walked the shoreline, but you didn't walk the water. They did not expect him to be there at all. And so they did not see him. What are the circumstances of your life? Maybe it has to do with job security in our economy. Or maybe it has to do with financial security for your retirement or in your retirement. Maybe it could be strained relationships at home or deteriorating health. It might be the thought of losing your friends or the experience of being bullied. It might well be the anxiety that comes with consequences of poor choices catching up with you in this day. And you know, sometimes those kinds of things, sometimes those kinds of things can drive us right into the arms of Jesus, yes. But sometimes they can be so intense for us that they block out the sun. The circumstance is the only thing that we can see and the only thing that we can experience. We have trouble seeing the way ahead. We even have trouble seeing the way out. We don't know if there is a way out. It all seems dark. It all seems boxed in. It seems inescapable. We can't find a way. We have eyes and attention for nothing else but the trouble we're in. It consumes us so that maybe we cannot even recognize Jesus coming at us. They saw a ghost instead. But he did not hold that against them. He may have meant to pass them by for whatever reason. But when they in their fear cried out, immediately he changed directions towards them and moved to reassure them. "Take courage," he said. "It is I. Don't be afraid." And then he climbed into the boat with them. He could have kept walking on the water to get to his destination. But he didn't. He got into the same boat as the disciples. They were all in the same boat. And to me, that is such a singular act of mercy, such a brilliant display of grace, of understanding on Jesus' part. He got into their boat, the wind stopped, and he rowed the rest of the way with his disciples who did not know what to think about all of this. Jesus could just as well have kept walking on water, but he didn't. Their hearts were hardened. They didn't get it. They couldn't put it together. But he got into the boat with them anyway. They didn't understand him. They didn't understand what he had done. But Jesus stayed on board with them anyway. They don't understand. Yet the presence of God is there. This morning's word beckons us to take this revelation about Jesus into our own circumstances, holding to the hope that the presence can divide our fears so that they can be handled or exterminated or transformed into amazement. Remember who's in the boat with you. The presence is the source of courage. The presence can release us from the fear of our circumstance so that we may focus on what really matters, our relationship with God. If you keep reading in Mark, you'll find a couple of other times where Jesus is rather harsh with his disciples, calling them out on their stubbornness and their sluggish faith. You'll also discover that none of that ever seemed to interrupt his love for them. As Barbara Taylor said it in her sermon on this passage, they remained his chosen people. Hard hearts and all. And he remained their Lord. Not only the Lord of the sea, but also the Lord of the land and of the whole creation, who kept climbing into the same boat they were to be with them over and over and over again from that day forth and forevermore, with a heart big enough and a heart soft enough for all of us. This is the word of the Lord for us in this season of Lent. This is the word of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. O Lord our God, you overwhelm us with your mercy. You astonish us with your presence. At the time of our greatest need, you surprise us with your wondrous love. You offered your life for us to remove our dreadful curse during this season of Lent. As you draw us into the renewed relationship of love, help us to respond with trust, especially when we may not understand. We rely on your patience with us. And that is also our salvation, your patience. Hear us. Amen. I invite you to sing together the song, If You But Trust in God to Guide You. It's a song that speaks, I think, the message of the story in a variety of circumstances. So when the music begins, please stand and let's sing that song together.